Welcome to Fine is a Four-Letter Word, the podcast that empowers you to say, fuck being fine. Tired of being stuck in a place where you say everything's fine, when it's really not fine at all? You're not alone. I'm your host, Lori Seitz. I've been there too, and so have my guests. Here's a secret. All it takes is a conscious decision to change and then restructure beliefs so your actions take you in the right direction. That's where Fine is a Four-Letter Word comes in. Each week, you'll hear inspiring stories from people who have transformed their lives and businesses, and practical tips and takeaways to move you from spinning in place to forward action so you can create a life of joy. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. As human beings, we are both programmed and pressured to say everything is fine. Someone asks you, how are you? And you're supposed to reply, fine, how are you? Have you ever noticed that a benign, well-meaning core value many of us are raised with could be reinforcing this and blocking us from improving ourselves? Eli Delaney, who I met through Success Champions and recently reconnected with when he responded to an ad from my production company looking for guests, is one of these people. His parents raised him with a strong work ethic, emphasizing that you do your best with what you have. All well and good, and from what I know of Eli, I can see his parents' positivity and love reflected in the man I've come to know and respect. But could you be translating this in your mind into good enough is good enough? For Eli, it's the difference between the common notion of working hard equals success and the necessity of pushing oneself beyond average effort. By 2019, Eli had his business, his life partner, their daughter, and though he had been through some ups and downs, everything seemed fine. But fine is a four-letter word. In 2020, COVID hit and took a toll on his business. At the same time, his partner was diagnosed with what turned out to be a fatal brain tumor. Plus, he didn't feel like he fit in living in Portland, Oregon. And all the while, he was expected to say, fine, how are you? When asked how things were going. So after attending a seminar in Texas, Eli decided he had found his people, those who aligned with at least 80% of his core values, and he moved there for a fresh start. It was basically a fuck this, I'm out of here moment. Given your current circumstances, would you like to do that? These days, Eli is on the rise. His business is growing again, he has a great circle of friends, and he's found happiness unlike what he knew before. In fact, he has watched podcast interviews of himself from 2 years ago versus today, and he sees in himself the changes in his facial expressions and the energy he projects. In a moment, when you meet Eli, you'll discover the influences and learnings that coalesce to bring him to this place. It's an eclectic mix of archery, Bushido, and two of the core philosophies he has developed for himself and teaches others. Meet cool people and just fucking be nice. If, like Eli a couple years ago, you've reached the point where you're tired of saying, fine, how are you? And ready to say, fuck this, I'm out of here. The 5 Easy Ways to Start Living the Sabbatical Life guide is for you. Once you read it, you'll discover a counterintuitive approach to making intentional changes in mindset and lifestyle. You'll learn how to own your feelings and your struggles so you can address them. And you'll find out how to face fears, step out of your comfort zone, and rewire your beliefs. It's only 7 pages, so it won't take you long to get through. The 5 tactics are simple, but similar to the 7 principles of Bushido, they are simple, straightforward, and at your disposal to use as you choose. When you're ready to say fuck being fine, then this guide is the place to start. It's time to blaze your own trail and allow your curiosity to take you on a new quest. Go to zenrabbit.com right now to download it for free. Now, let's go meet Eli. Whoa, wait a minute. He's holding a bow and arrow. He's a super nice guy, though, as you'll see. Hello, and welcome to Fine is a Four-Letter Word. My guest today, Eli Delaney. Welcome to the show, Eli.
It's my pleasure to come hang out with you today.
Yeah, it was so cool that we got connected through my production company, but we already knew each other from Success Champions. So that was
Yeah, I thought it was funny when I got the notification of, hey, would you like to be a guest on the show? I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I know her. Yes, of course I would.
right, yeah. And so, yeah, so here we are. First question I love asking people is, what were the values and beliefs you were raised with that contributed to you becoming who you became as a young adult and then eventually into where you are now?
I think more than anything else, work ethic is like what working hard, making sure that you're doing the best you can with what you got. And if there's one thing that I got from my parents, that's it right there.
That's so interesting because a lot of my guests say they got work ethic, like work hard and you will be successful. And that's not necessarily true in my experience now.
No, it's not necessarily true from a standpoint of if you work hard, you will have success specifically. But if you don't work hard, you're not going to have success. You're going to have to push yourself further than the average person. And a lot of people give up or they don't try to level up their game of what they're doing, whatever it is. And they use the excuse of, oh, well, good enough is good enough. Like that's a phrase that I see a lot in the last few years. And it really, that one rubs me wrong because it's like there's a point where, yes, they're not wrong. But then good enough is like when you have like, here's the beginning and here's what you really want. Is good enough when you get it like 80% and you just couldn't quite get it to the 100% of what you wanted? Or is the good enough, I did 20%. That's good enough. You know, that's where I think that people let themselves off a little too easy with that phrase. That's why I don't like it. It's not that I don't understand the concept. Like for me, you know, that goes with the stuff of, you know, shoot for the moon. If you land among the stars, you're still okay. Something to that effect. I get that. And I'm totally cool with that. But I think people use that as an excuse to let themselves just let the world happen around them instead of doing the best they truly can.
That's so interesting. And I love that you just created that distinction between those two interpretations, because yes, you could get caught up in the super high achievers that we hang out with, get into that perfectionism and never release anything because it's not good enough.
Right. Yeah. And I was one of those for
me too.
Many, many years. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, right, trying, pushing when something feels uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, like, for me personally, I'm a big fan of, and I wish I could remember where, it was actually an exercise group that I'm part of, because, like, I've gotten into some stuff more recently. Exercise was not part of my world growing up necessarily, and as I've gotten older, I'm like, you know what, no, this is one of the things that I have been lacking. I do need to work on. And the cool thing about the guy who runs this program, he's like, do not compare yourself to me or anybody else in this group. It is you versus you.
Right.
Do the best you can, not to the point of hurting yourself. You're not competing with me. I am an Olympian. You are not. Don't try. But that means try to do the best you can, and you'll do just fine. And that's I like that because it's you versus you. And like for me personally, I'm not a super competitive person. I got into one sport in my entire life that I actually got involved with, which is archery. And the great thing I love about archery is there's a lot of different things I love about it. But one of the things I love from that standpoint is what somebody else does has zero effect on me. If I shoot well, it's because I had a great day. If I win a competition, it's because I did well that day. But that doesn't affect of did somebody else play better than me, or did somebody shoot better than me, or did somebody do something like you know, trip me? Because you don't touch each other. None of that is involved. It's like I do the best I possibly can. And by the way, I've had sometimes where I've done tournaments where I did the best I could and I had a really, really bad day and I still came in first because everybody else just happened to have a worse bad day, you know?
Right, yeah.
And that's a good place to be because, you know, you are trying your best. That's all we can ask for. You know,
yeah.
And that's why I love that.
I am a big fan of archery and nobody has ever, I can't remember anybody bringing up archery. I did it at camp and I freaking loved it, but then I haven't done it since. But except back in April.
Okay.
Almost a year ago, I was at a friend visiting a friend in California, and she had a target in her backyard. Mm-hmm. And we went out there and we're shooting, and I did really well. She's like, wait, you haven't done this in years, like since you were a kid? I'm like, no, but nice. I just,
you got a good talent for it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I need to find somewhere that I could go and maybe take lessons or do it on the regular.
Okay.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, we need to talk because I can help you find some of those kind of places. When I got into it, I've only been into it for 8-9 years now. For most of my life, I was not into it. I did it in high school when they run you through like every different
yes.
sport you can get into for like one day. And I don't think I hit the target once. And I shot like three arrows because they only had like three bows between 30 people.
Uh-huh.
Something like that. But I got into it. I fell in love with it. For me, it's my meditation time. It's my Zen time.
Yes.
And one of the things I love to do is if it's the weather's right, there's outdoor ranges you can go to and you just walk the course. You go golfing. You know, a lot of people
right.
go golfing. It's kind of the same thing, only with a stick and a pointy object, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot more fun in my aspect, and it's so relaxing.
Yes. Yes. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
That's a different conversation.
Going back to the pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to achieve things that you say that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, a lot of people slink back because it's like, oh, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, or I didn't think
yeah.
it was going to be this much work, or I just don't know the right people, or whatever reason they come up with
mm-hmm.
for not achieving. I think it all comes down to it feels uncomfortable and I don't, it feels uncomfortable and unfamiliar and I don't like that. So I'm going to go back to what I know and stay in my tiny little box.
Yeah. I think we all go through that and in different aspects of life, whether it be personal, business, whatever. You know, for me personally, I have, you and I talked about this actually the other day. I'm making kind of a shift of who my target audience is and how I run my business. A couple of things that I'm doing differently are very outside of the comfort zone for me for a couple of different reasons, because I had the same niche I've been working with for over 15 years. These are the same people, easy for me to find. It's like when I say who I work with, it's like, oh, you go to these particular events, that's where they hang out. It's real simple. Now I'm like, okay, where do I find these new people that I'm looking at? And that's a scary part in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with that aspect, I'm changing even how I'm marketing and how I'm connecting with people. And one of the things, as simple, as silly as it sounds, my comfort zone has always been using Facebook as a marketing tool. And now I'm diving into LinkedIn quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't like LinkedIn, you know, and I have avoided it like the plague for years. I have account, I have stuff posted on it, but I post and I leave. That's it. And I'm like, no, I need to change things for this stuff. As simple as that sounds, that's actually a very difficult hurdle to get over when you're stuck in your ways and you've been doing the same way for 15 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I have to do this thing differently. And we could go, you know, on a business aspect. I mean, look at what's going on with AI right now. Like mm-hmm. so many people are fighting what's going on with it. And I mean, when it comes to, you know, with AI, yeah, I grew up with watching Terminator. I'm scared as hell of some of that stuff. But the reality is it's not going anywhere. And for people that are saying it's horrible, you have to avoid it like the plague and all this kind of stuff, guess what? You're going to be left behind. So you have to figure out, you don't have to embrace it and fall down the rabbit hole with it, but you have to embrace, I have to figure out something with it. I need to utilize it and what works best for me. So like I have a different way that I'm using it than what the masses are doing, because that's a way that keeps with my authenticity and helps me deal with the things that I have against it, and my clients are kind of in the same boat with that, which is great, because now I can communicate with them better. But
yeah.
Still, no, it's not going anywhere. So the world evolves. We have to go outside of our comfort zone, and these are just, you know, a couple examples off the top of my head, because these are things I've been talking about a lot lately. Is you figure out what is the best way that you can handle that thing and make that shift, even if it's in small bite-sized chunks.
Yes. And I will throw in that I am being very polite to AI so that when it takes over, it remembers who was nice to it.
So do you say please and thank you
yes.
to your Siri? Yeah.
Yes.
I got it. Yeah,
well, not to Siri, but to ChatGPT.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Some of the other ones. But yes, maybe I should consider being nicer
to
Siri
I got my Google and my Alexa. I catch myself saying, oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's right.
Good. It's all good.
Yeah, it is. It is. So you mentioned that you are going through a transition now with mm-hmm. your clients.
Yeah.
And you had gone through, so you're some personal and some business mm-hmm. transitions.
Yeah. So,
where you were saying everything was fine, but I was not fine at all.
Yeah. So, just like, 2019 was my best year ever. I was traveling across the country, speaking all over places, having a blast, meeting all kinds of fun people. And, 2020 hit, obviously, the world shut down, which was a hit in itself, but I was okay with that. Uh-huh. And then, fast forward towards the end of the year, my partner, who we've been together for almost 30 years, she ended up developing a brain tumor. And there was a lot of personal angst going on in our relationship as well. And then that happened. And it was like, okay, I'm already trying to refigure out my business. And now this is happening. I ended up shutting down the business for about 4 months to take care of her. And then just got a thing after thing after thing just hit. Fast forward a couple of years, she passed away a little over a year and a half ago, about a year and a half ago. And I moved across the country, restarted my life, both personal and business. And that's a lot. Funny. I've told people when I've gone through it, and I'm not going to go through all the details, but I went through enough of, I've shared details with people that are like, all right, are you in therapy? And I'm like, well, no, but I got some friends I definitely need to get a good steak dinner for.
They were your therapy.
They were my therapy. But the reality is that I came at it with the point of, I don't have a choice but to just push through. And so when people are like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. Because I had to be. I had no choice in the matter. And for me personally, there's definitely a lot going on inside my head that was not fun at all. But I looked at it as, these are the things I have to deal with. And it just is what it is.
You chose to do that. Because you said you didn't have a choice, but you actually did have a choice. You could have walked away. You could have broken down. You could have responded differently than you did. So you did have a choice, and you chose to keep it all together and convince yourself it was fine because you felt like that was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And that is an interesting look at it, because for me, that was, it was the right thing to do. And so therefore there wasn't another choice. It's like, okay, what, if I look at the other options, and that's the hard thing about stuff like that. When you get dealing with major trauma, major things going on, you look at what are my choices here? And it's like, okay, I can put on the best face I possibly can and just make use of what I have, just push through it all, or I can crawl up in a little ball and do nothing. And it's like, when you look at that, some people will choose the second option. But I'm looking at that, that's not living. That's not, you got to move forward to get out of it. It's like, what is it? I think it was Winston Churchill said something, when you're going through hell, keep going.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to look at it, because the choices that we have are going to be things that get us through the other side. And that's where I was. I was a basket case, but I did as much as I could to hold it together. And it was funny. I had some people that were really surprised, that weren't close to me, but when they found out what happened, they're like, wow, I didn't realize what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then I had some people that did know me, and they're like, you were a mess. And they could tell, And fast forward, I moved to Dallas a little over a year ago, and I've done a lot of personal work on getting my head back on straight. And I am night and day different than the way I was like a year ago. I mean, just, it's funny because I can even look at videos of like podcasts and stuff like that, and I can see where I was holding it together compared to the energy and the look of my eyes now. It is so different than what it was back then.
What are some of the things that you've done or that you did or that you are doing now? You mentioned working out.
Yeah.
But what are some of the other things that you did to help you, you know, get yourself back in a good place?
Okay. Yeah. So working out was one of them. And it was real simple because it was, okay, this is something I can control. I'm not looking like I'm going to lose 100 pounds in the next 90 days or any of that kind of BS. I'm just like, no, I'm just going to be consistent. It's like, just be consistent with something. It's like, it's that real simple thing. It's like everybody always talks about if you're in the worst case situation, just make your bed because you can be proud of making your bed that day.
Right.
Which is really funny because that's something I started doing too that I hadn't actually done before. I had never been a fan of that. I was like, why? What's the bother of doing that? You're going to just mess it up the next night anyway. right. And so it's literally since I moved here, I've made my bed every day and I've worked out almost every day. And it's those things have helped. But on top of that, when it was all going through, before all that stuff happened, I had actually started studying Stoicism a little bit. And so I'd been kind of following it to some degree for a couple of years. And then I got deeper into it. And then when stuff really started happening, I don't even know what started or where it came to be, but I got into studying Bushido, which is the code of the samurai. And I ended up going down a completely different rabbit hole with that because it helped me think of things. And it's funny because you look at a lot of times it's like in military or more, I hate to use the term, but more like alpha group kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They have like, they're really pushing their core values, which core values are super important, but the way they do it tends to be a little in your face a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And so I've never been a
like
big fan of it.
Dictator-like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a great term for it. And what ended up happening was I saw the way Bushido came to be. And if you think about samurai, you know, back in there, they were the most feared warriors in the world. The difference with them, and this is why it appeals to me, because I'm not a violent kind of guy. I love archery, but I'm a target archer.
Right.
For me, it's meditation. It's not, you know, for the hunt of the kill or any of that.
Yeah,
kind
it's
of
not.
Stuff.
It's not about killing things.
Exactly. You know, I always tell I got plenty of hunter friends. I'm like, I don't have a problem with it, but there's wonderful steakhouses. I don't need to do that kind of crap.
Right.
But for me, it's like, what I found with what they do, the samurai do, is that they are or were, you know, there's technically there are still some, you know, from heritage, but they were the most feared warriors, but they were also very disciplined in what they did. And they looked at things from a very calming state. They weren't the in your face tyrant type. They were very calm and collected. And I was like, okay, what is it that kept them centered? And their philosophies did that. And, you know, they're the type of guys that, you know, they chop you in half and then they'd apologize, you know, because they respected you as another human being and as a warrior. So that's the way they thought. And it was like, okay, this mindset as a whole appeals to me. It's like, how can we be respectful of each other? And the thing that really pushed me over the edge with them is two of the seven virtues are it's compassion, which compares to what I call kindness. Mm-hmm. And respect. Those are two of the seven. And for me, those are my core values, personal. The other ones are all important, but those two are the ones that stand the most. And I think that's where the world needs more of kindness and respect. It's like, be kind to other people, show them respect. You don't have to like them. You don't have to agree with them, but like show basic respect.
Right.
And when we do that, we come from a very different place and we can have a better conversation. And for me, those things helped center me and get me back to, okay, just keep pushing forward. My stoicism side, one of the big things with the stoicism side was it's not about lack of emotion. It's about controlling your emotion. And that's how their mindset is about that. A lot of times people think of stoicism as boring and cold and stuff like that. And it's not about that. It's about how do you control your emotions, but you let your emotions control you. Cause so many people do that in today's world.
Right.
They're like, some of the silliest things will trigger them and they go completely off the wall where, you know, it's like, no, you don't like it. You don't have to like it, but, you know, keep your cool, you know? And that was a big thing for me. It's like, okay, these bad things that are happening, this chaos in my life, I can't control that.
Right.
What I can control is the actions that I do to try to make it as good as I can. And so I just focus my energy as rock solid as I could on that.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot on this show and outside of it in my coaching program is about, one, it's not about not having emotions. We all have emotions as humans, and it's about feeling them and not letting them, like you said, like take control of you.
Right.
That you're responding to things instead of reacting. There's a difference.
Yes.
And then it's about how do you process them? And I was going to go back to when you were talking about Bushido, that it's similar to what I hear about martial arts. Like, I've never practiced martial arts, but it's the same. Once you have those skills, it's not like you go out and karate chop everybody and, you know, because they pissed you off.
Right.
It's about being respectful and knowing when to engage. And nobody ever, as far as I understand, the people who are really into practicing martial arts, it's not like they want to engage. They will only engage when forced to.
Right. And that's where, I mean, there are some people that get into like the sports of MMA and things like that. But the mass majority of them, it's a matter of, and there's a great quote that comes from Eastern philosophy somewhere. And I don't remember where it came from exactly, but it's like, it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. And that's the mindset behind it is just being prepared, being ready for it. You don't want to ever have to use it.
Right.
And, you know, for me, it's like I'm not into the martial arts side. I mean, not that I'm opposed to it. I've actually had some interesting thoughts of potentially at some point getting into that. I got too many things going on right now to take up a new hobby. And I don't even have time to do the archery as much as I'd like to yet right now. So, but it's a matter of how do we... Like for me, it was a matter of like Bushido it was all about the philosophy. And, you know, it's about how do you react to the world around you? And how do you keep your values at the top? It's like integrity. Integrity is one of the seven virtues as well. It's like you, even when you're stressed out and things are not looking good and, you know, all the things are going on in the bank account has 20 bucks in it. You know, are you going to keep your integrity and take care of the people and sell? You know, I'm a big fan of this one is because, you know, you and I both work in the coaching world. There's a lot of people that make a lot of really, really big promises that are just full of shit. And you're like, no, that's not in integrity. And I would never do such a thing.
That's why it's so important to be aware of what your values are. And a lot of people are not. They don't know, like they'll say they value integrity or they value family or they value health. But when you look at their calendar or you look at how they're spending their time or how they're acting, they're not acting in accordance with those values, one, or two, they haven't really sat down and thought about what are my values that I want to live by? How do I want to define myself? Who do I want to be?
Right.
And when you are clear on what those values are, and that's one of the things that we talk about in the Fuck Being Fine program, is that's one of the places we start is getting clear on what your values are so that you can then live into them. And no matter what situation comes up in front of you, you're living those values.
Yes. And it's really funny because I've noticed that the term of using core values has come up a lot just in like the last year. Like massive, it's a massive explosion of conversation, which is cool. And I think there's a lot of ways like figuring out what your core values are, both on a personal side and on a business side, you know, and the two may not always be the same overall. They will probably mesh mostly for the big part. But even like for me, it was like, I didn't realize those were my core values until I literally saw them in words. When I saw them on, there's a really cool poster that I have downstairs of the seven virtues. And when I saw the words, I'm like, that's it right there. those are the things that are the most important to me.
Yeah.
And I'd been living that. I'd already been like those things. It's like I'd have conversations about, you know what? We just need to be kind to each other. We just need to show kindness, smile at the barista when you get your coffee, laugh and make them laugh a little bit because they probably had a bad day with a bunch of people that have caffeinated enough.
Right.
Show respect. You know, you don't have to like somebody. If you have a disagreement over something, that's fine. You know, it's like a guy might be a narcissist. That's okay. Smile, say hi, shake their hand and walk away. You know, there's little things like that. And when I saw it, that's when I'm like, that's it. That's what is important to me. And so that's what started me down that particular rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got going down there, I realized how much deeper it really went and what the philosophies were behind it so much more than, you know, okay, let's show kindness, let's show respect. It was so much deeper than that. And now that's become a very big part of my persona. And I talk about it all the time and I teach it to my clients. And even some of my business stuff is melding more into those core values and the philosophies behind Bushido because it gave me a way to center myself and to be confident. It's like, okay, there's all kinds of crazy crap going on and chaos. You know, I mean, I'm still recovering from all that stuff that happened.
Absolutely.
But I feel like, you know, a year later, you know, a year ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And a year later, I'm confident. I'm happy. I'm doing well. There's still stuff, voices going on in the head, but I'm doing so much better than I was before. And it's because I'm like, okay, let me find my path. Let me find that North Star and just stick to it. It's going to be wavy. There's no getting around that.
Yeah.
But follow the path anyway. And once you do that, it just makes life a little bit easier.
Yes, absolutely. It's about following. And you mentioned earlier about consistency. It's not going to be a straight shot.
Yeah.
And as long as you are consistent, and if you, you know, you're talking about being at the gym, you miss a day, you miss a week, whatever, you get back on the path and you keep going and you're consistent. And it's that consistency that brings you the results you're looking for.
Well, and let me say something real quick because you just brought up something. You said going to the gym. So I don't even go to the gym. Because for me, going to the gym is more of a trauma thing. It's like, you know, gym rats and big bulky dudes and make fun of you and me and my fat gut and all that kind of stuff. It's like, no, that's not cool for me. So it's a matter of, again, don't look at the excuse. Look at how do we figure that out? And so what I did, I found a program that is something I can do from home, uses resistance bands so it doesn't take up any space. And I have videos on my phone. So I just take out my phone and I download videos every day and I watch it. It still gives me the same workout. It busts my butt. I have a hard time standing every Tuesday because Monday's leg day, you know. But that's the thing is we have to think solution oriented. And like as an entrepreneur, I try to stay that way because entrepreneurs solve problems for a profit. That's what we do. So my brain is always looking at what's the solution? How can we make it work? It's not we can't make it work because we don't like this thing. It's like, no, I don't like the gym. I'm not going to go to the gym. That's going to be too inconsistent. It's going to cost me money. I have to get up. I have to go, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, let's eliminate all the problems. We can do it right here. I get up, I do my thing. And that's the kind of the mindset we have to do to get over the kind of chaos that can throw us for a loop. It's like, okay, all this stuff is going on. What's one thing that I can do that give me a step forward? And that's all I focused on. And
that's such great advice. What's the one thing I can do today that can move me forward, keep me centered, whatever it is. And the solution focused.
Yes.
That's fantastic because... Right. We live in a world that tends to be problem focused.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. That's a whole rabbit hole we could go down to.
We won't go down that today.
And for some reason, I'm saying rabbit hole a lot today. I don't know what the
because
meaning
Zen rabbit.
Is. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. That's what happens.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. All right.
Yeah.
I'll buy that.
Yeah. Solution focused. And you mentioned earlier about relying on your friends as your therapy kind of thing. And so again, it comes up again a lot in the show. You don't have to do this alone.
Right.
And if you can't see the solution because you're too in your head or your situation is so overwhelming to you, you know, emotions can take over and you can't see the solution, get somebody else who can help you, whether it's a friend or a coach or a therapist or a religion, you know, rabbi, priest, minister, whatever, somebody who is outside of your situation who can help you find solutions.
Yeah. And one of the things that actually brings up a really important point in my my thoughts on this, too, is one of the other things, and this was also a partial one of the reasons that I chose to move to the Dallas area when I did, was but came from Portland. And if anybody knows all the chaos that was going on up there.
Portland, Oregon?
Yes.
As opposed to Portland, Maine.
Yes. Sorry, I always forget about that one. Because they're nice and quiet. The other one isn't.
They are, yes.
The one I lived in is not quiet. But I moved here for various different reasons. But one of the things is also is I had found a culture that also a group of people who lived by stronger core values. And so when I looked at the core values that I had, and they're not 100% alignment with mine, but they're very, very close. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for people that make me feel warm and fuzzy, because that hasn't helped me in the back. You know, there's a point for that. There's a point where you need somebody just to give you a hug. Nothing wrong with that. But they can't coddle you forever. And you need somebody who's going to take you to that next level. It's like, okay, this is where we are. And we all believe in these things. Mm-hmm. And when you can find that culture, embrace that, get around that. Even if it's not 100%, but you know that, you know, even if they're 80% there, that's 80% better than where you were without it. And so that's where find people who embrace those same values that you do, because that's going to make a big difference too.
Yes, 100%, 1,000%. It's about finding your community.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I have so enjoyed this conversation, and I've never heard about Bushido before. Stoicism, yes, but Bushido, no. And so grateful for you for introducing that to me. I'm going to dig into that a little bit more.
And, I think,
yeah, like you said, go down that rabbit hole. And before we go, two more questions.
Yes.
One, you are calm and grounded now. But what's the song you listen to when you need an extra boost of energy? What's your hype song?
Okay, my hype song, I would say The Main Event as the name of the song, as by Jeremy Renner. And a lot of people don't realize. So Jeremy Renner, if you've heard of him, he's actually an actor. You ever watch the Avenger movies? He is Hawkeye. So he's the Archer. That's actually how I got introduced to him. And I've actually followed him on a personal level and found out he was actually a musician. And I come from a music background too. So I followed a lot of his stuff. And he has some really amazing music. And that's one of the songs that he put out that's really powerful. So I recommend checking that song out, checking out him. He's just a cool guy. I mean, if there's one person that you could literally say is a true superhero, that follow his life, things that he's done, he really is amazing.
Cool. We'll have a link to that song in the show notes. And also in the show notes, I'd like to put how somebody can get in touch with you if they want to continue this conversation.
Yeah. Oh, simple. Easiest way to connect with me is connectwitheli.com. And it is ELY, connectwitheli.com. You can find all my social media sites. You can find a link to my podcast, which is the Meet Cool People podcast. All the fun stuff. I mean, there's even a spot. If you want to just book a chat with me, because I do love meeting cool people, book on my call or book on my calendar, have a call with me. I'm very open. I love just talking and having good conversations with people. And number one thing I'll ask is, if you do book a call or connect with me or anything, please send me a message letting me know that you heard me on the show, because that is the biggest thing. It gives me the ability to know where you came from, because that's always important. But then secondly, I can come back and say, hey, guess what, Lori, I got somebody cool I just talked to last week because they heard me on your show.
Yes, because there are a lot of cool people listening to the show.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Eli, for joining me today on Fine is a Four-Letter Word.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure. Lots of fun.
I I've known Eli Delaney for a while. There's a lot more to his story than we had time to share during our interview, such as the reason he moved from Phoenix to Portland in 2013, having his house foreclosed upon, even as he was mentoring entrepreneurs to be successful in their marketing, and so much more he has persevered through. Nevertheless, our conversation is loaded with takeaways. Here are a few of them. Number one, you can achieve the same results as everyone else by doing things differently if their methods don't align with you authentically. For Eli, going to the gym is a source of trauma and angst, but he likes to exercise and is continuously improving his body and his health. Instead of a gym membership, he bought resistance bands and works out at home. After his workouts, he feels great, even as the workouts kick his ass like it should. So I think he's on to something. Number two, you need your Zen. Whatever form this takes is up to you. For Eli, it's archery, which involves shooting a target with a bow and arrow. Someone I work with does his best writing work over a cigar and has developed the fortitude to dismiss those who try to impose their concerns about his choices on him. Someone else I know achieves inner peace by listening to loud, crazy death metal music. Whatever your Zen is, it's your Zen. Number three, stoicism is powerful, yet often misunderstood. It's not about lacking emotions or suppressing emotions. It's about managing your emotions and using them to claim your power over situations and circumstances. It's the difference between intentionally responding to emotions and stimuli versus having a knee-jerk reaction. Number four, going along with this, kindness and just be fucking nice go a long way. Take a moment to say a pleasant word or tell a joke to your barista. They're mostly getting yelled at because the coffee is too hot or too cold. Let's say you know someone who's miserable, a psychopath, or has some trait that you'd rather not infect your energy. Rather than snub them, say hello and give them a firm handshake with a smile, but then protect yourself by going about your day. That moment of kindness could be just what they needed to have a better day or function better in society, even if just for today. And number five, finally, if things aren't fine for you right now, do the smallest thing you can. Once Eli settled into his new place in Texas, he began taking small steps to make his life just a little bit better. Buying the resistance bands and designing his home workout was one thing. Another was making his bed every morning, even though he knew it would get messed up at the end of the day. It gave him something to point to that said, "I achieved that today." What small thing can you achieve today? Thanks for listening to Fine is a Four-Letter Word. If you've enjoyed the show, please follow and share it with a friend. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform to help others discover it too. You can find links to my socials on my website, zenrabbit.com. And before you go, take a moment to reflect on what you're grateful for today. Remember, you have the power to create a life you love, and I'm proud of you. Thanks for joining me. Take care.